Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Like we do every Saturday morning, we're going to help you keep it running. That's thanks to the help we get from Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan is with us in studio. You were on the phone, but we were at the fair, of course, last couple of weekends. Welcome back.
How does that happen so quickly?
I know. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
It really does. Well, it's good to have Dan back helping us out like he's done for about 20 years here on CCO. If you have any kind of car care question, we urge you to give us a call right now. Don't wait. Or send Dan a text. Either way, Dan will be here till about 7:45 this morning when Jack Farrell comes in. But call us now. There's a line open. We've cleared the line, 651-989-9226. You can call now. Or, again, if you find it easier to send a text, 81807. Dan helps you out before you bring in your vehicle to your favorite dealer or your favorite shop. At least you'll be armed with a little more information than maybe you didn't have at the time. Again, 651-989-9226 or send a text, 81807. Dan, you and I were talking as you came into the studio how a little cool this morning, like maybe you should have had a little windbreaker or something.
Yeah, I could have had a jacket on this morning. First morning, you know, it's been beautiful all summer.
But that kind of makes you think about what's ahead for what we lovingly call CCO Land here in our vehicles.
It is ahead, isn't it? And probably not that far down the road. As I was sitting out in front of my house looking at the sun last night, I noticed that it's pretty much aligned in the straight west, which, you know, means it's moving towards the southern hemisphere, which means it's going to get chilly.
And darker.
And darker. I noticed that this morning, too.
Yeah.
So, it's coming. And of course, you know, that means it's time to start thinking about your car and getting it ready for winter. We have switched over our special at Lloyd's from our summer special to our fall special.
Which means what? No.
Well, it's just instead of checking air conditioning, you're checking the heater, you know, and we have more sensitivity to cold starts, you know, checking the battery, those sorts of things, and tire condition, you know, more winter stuff, antifreeze, coolant. You know, in the summer we call it coolant.
Yeah.
In the winter we call it antifreeze, and it's the same thing. But we change our focus more towards what the car needs for winter driving conditions instead of summer driving conditions.
Is there still, I should know this, but I mean, are there still thermostats in cars like they have been for 100 years?
There are. They're
basically the same function.
They're more sophisticated,
of course.
Some of them are electronic and are controlled by the computer, so they're different, but same theory, you know. We want the car for several reasons to warm up as quickly as possible. One reason is it the heat works quicker and it's more comfortable, but the other reason is any car does not run efficiently at a cold temperature. It needs to be brought up to its proper operating temperature in order for everything to work properly. And so we want that to happen quickly.
Here's a texter that just came in. By the way, if you want to send Dan a text, your car care question via text 81807 or call us. 651-989-9226. I know it's kind of hard unless you or your guys go through a vehicle. What's the approximate cost of replacing a front wheel bearing on a 2012 Ford Focus? Is it a job someone can do in their own garage at home?
You know, I have no idea what the cost is. I'm sorry, but I really don't. And wheel bearings come in two fashions. One is that the wheel bearing comes with the bearing, the hub, the wheel speed sensor, everything. And oftentimes that would be one that you could perhaps do in the garage, because it's a contained unit and it bolts in and it bolts out. And the only trouble is, you know, in a perfect world, it bolts in and it bolts out. The only trouble is it oftentimes gets stuck in with rust and corrosion. And so we end up using air hammers and stuff to get it apart. So,
wow.
But anyway, if it came apart properly, that is one that you could do. The other style is where the bearing is all by itself. And in that case, the hub needs to be pressed out. The bearing needs to be pressed out and of the hub or of the spindle. And in that case, you probably couldn't do that in your garage. It's too complicated. Maybe if you took the whole assembly apart and brought it into a shop and had it pressed apart and pressed back together. But if you're going to go through all that, I would probably recommend that you just take it in.
And so, for listeners who are regular listeners, know that Dan deals more with the work rather than the cost. You know what I mean? You leave that to other people, right?
You know,
more or less.
The cost of it scares me anymore.
Yeah. I even you.
You know, when I compare it to the old days of what we used to charge to what we charge now, I quite frankly, I sometimes don't know how people do it. You know, to have a family and a family car that you want to keep going, and the cost of it is
pretty prohibitive.
Like everything in life. I'm not picking on car repairs only, because try calling the plumber, the electrician, or the doctor. It's all the same. But it frightens me. So I like to stay in the back and fix the cars.
Very good. We'll let you do some more work here as we take a quick break here. If you have a car care question for Dan, we're going to get back to the phones in a moment, 651-989-9226, or send a text, and we'll get to pick up on those, too, 81807. 54 is our current Twin City temperature reading here on CCO, 72 degrees the high today. By the way, we'll be keeping you up to date, getting updates from CBS News on Hurricane Irma all weekend long, so you stay tuned. 830-WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Where is Dan's business located? It's 982 Grand Avenue.
Yeah,
see, I finally learned it after
all
this.
You have it memorized.
I do. In fact, I'm going to stop by next week, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, you come over on Tuesday to 982 Grand Avenue, and we'll get you fixed up. You know, you can find us on the web, too. We have a new website at lloydsautomotive.net that shows our facility and our people and what we do and all that. So,
yeah, it's a great new website.
Yeah, thank you. It's worth visiting, I think. Or, let's see, Jim is there this morning at 651-228-1316.
Excellent. We'll give you that phone number again before Dan leaves us. And are you open till noon today, right?
We are.
Yeah. 651-989-9226. Larry is calling from Big Lake with a question. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. I have a question about a 97 Suburban. When I first started up for the day, I have a musty smell coming from the ductwork, and it kind of clears up after a while, but I'm wondering, how can I rectify that problem?
You know, they make... Well, two things. 97 is probably too old for a cabin filter, actually. I was going to recommend...
I don't believe it's got a cabin filter.
Yeah. Well, if it was a newer vehicle, for those people who do have this problem and a musty smell, that's the first thing to do is change that cabin filter. But secondly, when the air conditioning system is set on recycle, in other words, where it's taking air from inside the car, cooling it, and putting it back out into the car. When it's on recycle, if you look down by the passenger, where the passenger's feet are, you'll see and hear where that air is going. And the car parts stores sell a air freshener that comes in a spray can. And so you get the air rushing through there. You introduce this spray into that spot, so it goes all inside the ductwork, and it kills all the mildew and crud that's growing inside there. And we've had pretty good luck with that. The other thing is the smell gets onto the evaporator, which is the air conditioning part that is actually inside the ductwork there. And if you let this stuff blow through the ductwork there, it'll take care of that musty smell and you'll be happy about it. The other news is, with the weather getting cooler, that musty smell is going to go away anyway. But I'd recommend, just for, you know, seasonal operation, that you spray that through once a year, and you won't have any trouble.
So you find that at some auto parts stores?
Any auto parts store will have that. Or I suppose Lysol or anything that you...
I tried that once. That worked.
Household cleaners would also work.
You don't want to sit in there for a while.
The purpose is, you want to keep... Well, that's probably the right thing. You want the right mixture so it's not too strong.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Very good, Larry. Thank you. Pete in Roseville is next on the phone. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dan. My wife has been experiencing a problem with our Mitsubishi Outlander Sport. It's a 2011 model. It's a problem where she'll try and start it, and it actually, the battery is just not wanting to respond. She's able to get it started, but not with an amount of angst there. Just wondering, and you know, in the history of the car, it's actually, we've had it for about 2-3 years, and it's actually gone through about 4 batteries. It's on its 4th battery. One time they diagnosed the battery as being bad, so we just got a new battery there. But I'm just wondering, I'm taking it in this morning to the dealership, and they're going to test the battery and everything. And my suspicion is it'll come out, you know, and all rosy, and they'll say, "Oh, it's fine." But I think you've recommended this in the past, where if this problem keeps on happening, I think we're going to arrange a time where they can keep it overnight and put it on the scanners and see if there's something draining that battery.
Yeah, there's a meter. Our fancy meters that we have at work, we can hook up for a period of time, for a long period of time, overnight, and it will record for us the minimum draw on the battery and the maximum draw on the battery. I suspect that they've done this for the short term, tested it to make sure that the battery, or that the car, that all the computers and all the everything in the car shuts down, which it's supposed to, but it needs to stay down. Sometimes during the night or during a period of time, for one reason or another, because something is broken, something will turn back on that's causing the battery to go dead overnight. And the dealership will certainly have those meters. If you ask them to do this, I'm sure they'll be glad to do it, to set up the test, do a min-max test on the parasitic draw, and see it. Just be sure that it's staying low overnight. The other part to test on, you know, the electrical system check, the starting system check, would be, of course, the battery. Make sure that that's good and strong. To check the alternator to be sure that it's charging properly, and all of the fields in the battery or in the alternator are working. To be sure that the starter is not drawing too many amps. If the starter is starting to fail, it'll sound like a dead battery. And then, of course, the draw, the battery, the alternator, and the starter. Those are the things that you need to check. And if they do all that, they do this overnight min-max test, I'm sure that they'll either come up with a solution or, tell you that everything's okay.
All right. Very good. Good luck, Pete. I know we have to break here for bottom of the hour news. Dan will be back here in a couple of minutes. 651-989-9226 or send a text 81807. We'll be back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering your car care questions by phone and by text. We're going to get back to the text screen, Dan. But Jerry in Shoreview has been waiting on the horn. Go ahead, Jerry. Thank you.
Good morning. Say, I have a 90 GMC conversion van. I had a brake job done in February, and 2 weeks later, anytime I go to start it and go down the driveway, the front right passenger side brake locks up. I went back, and he said he took it all apart and did this and greased that. Lo and behold, that didn't happen. I went back the third time, And he said he redid this and redid that. The caliper's good and everything else. Lo and behold, I go to leave yesterday, and same thing, only worse. I got a really long driveway, and sometimes it takes four, five, six times to hit the brake to unlock. And he doesn't have an answer.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to get another opinion, obviously, because that's not right. Something's wrong. Sometimes when one brake is locking up, it's because the other brake isn't working. So my first thought is maybe he's working on the wrong wheel. In other words, the one wheel is trying to do all of the braking instead of all four wheels doing the braking like it's supposed to. So I think you've given this guy a fair chance, an opportunity to straighten out his work. And I think what I would recommend is that you find the next best guy down the road and have somebody else take a look at it. Sometimes a fresh set of eyes is what it takes, or a new idea, just like what I'm offering, and maybe that'll zero in on it. But something's not right. And once you get it all figured out and fixed up, then you can go back to your friend and just say, you know, here's what somebody else found out, and that fixed it, and you guys can work it out from there. But I think you've given him 3-4 chances. That's enough.
Yeah.
Try the next guy down the road.
Yep. Very good. Good luck, Jerry. Yeah, that's frustrating.
Yeah, that is frustrating. For everybody.
Sure.
He want, you know, the shop wants to fix it,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely.
They don't want to.
They want to get it done.
They don't want to give up. Yeah.
2001 Subaru Legacy Wagon, 147,000 miles on it, L-Class. I've been told that my left front CV shaft is bad. Left front shakes a little. How important is it to get it fixed, and what is it?
Well, the CV shaft is the drive axle. It goes from the transmission out to the wheel, and it's what drives it. And the reason that it's a little complicated is because the axle not only needs to drive the wheel, but it needs to have joints in it so that you can also steer the vehicle and turn it in all the different positions. So it's a fancy axle, fancy joint, and they're wrapped in, the joints are wrapped in a rubber boot and filled with grease. When the boot tears, then the grease leaks out, and of course that then it gets full of contaminants and it wrecks the joint. So common, we do them all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, we do them all the time, but it's important because if it's already shaking and making noise, then they actually will break. And if they break, then of course the car won't pull itself anymore. So you need to get that fixed pretty quick.
It's important. You want to know, is it important? Yes.
It is important.
It is important. Here's another text, a 2001 Monte Carlo. What would cause the cruise control not to work in the little green light on the steering wheel is lit up but cannot get it to work? What should I look for?
Well, a couple things. On an 01, it's probably controlled by vacuum, engine vacuum. If you have a vacuum leak, then the cruise control won't work. The other thing that's a common problem is if the brake light switch isn't working. If the cruise control thinks that the brakes are applied because the switch is bad, it will not allow the cruise control to work. You know, if you're driving down the road and with the cruise control on, if you touch the brake pedal, the cruise control shuts off.
Yeah.
So the brake light switch is what does that. So that's an important part of it. So those are just a few things that you could check. But usually it's a pretty simple fix. Not real complicated.
Okay. Yeah. That's good news. Texter says this: I have a 2002 Ford Ranger. The brake light comes on, then goes off when hard pressure is applied. Any ideas?
Well, check the brake fluid. The first thing is, when you're applying the brakes hard like that, you're also rocking the vehicle, and the brake fluid, the master cylinder has a sensor or a float in it, and if the fluid gets too low, it causes the brake light to come on. The other thing that would be the parking brake if that switch is not adjusted correctly. But most, I think probably what I would find in your vehicle is if you add a little brake fluid to it, that'll probably take care of your problem.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't expect this question, Dan. We get this every year, but usually in the colder months. How long should a person warm up their car before taking off in the cold, cold winter?
Well, I do it for 5 seconds.
Do you?
I'm always in a hurry. I got to go. maybe a minute would be good. Nowadays that people have heated seats and so forth, it's comfortable enough to do that. But I think a minute is time for the car to get warm enough to operate properly and not do any damage to the car, not do any unnecessary wear on the car. The auto start things will let the car run for 10 minutes or something like that. And if you let it run that long, you are getting good heat. And on a really cold morning, I will use mine and do that too. But that's probably a terrible waste of fuel. So, beware of that unless you're going to go for a nice long drive, that's probably not good use of fuel. But at any rate, I think 30 seconds to a minute is long enough for the car to be safe to drive.
I do that year-round.
Let it run for a few minutes?
No, just like for about a minute, just to bring that, if the RPM is up a little high and just, it seems like, now, why does it do that? Why is it up there? And then if you let it run for a minute, it brings down to maybe 1,000 or 900 RPM.
Because in cold weather, it needs that. In order for it to stay running, it needs that to, it needs the higher RPM to get things warmed up more quickly. I noticed on my new car that when it's severely cold, it doesn't shift.
Interesting.
Purposely. It stays in a higher gear.
Get the juices flowing.
To get the juices flowing so that it warms up more quickly because, like I said earlier in the show, the vehicle wants to run at its proper operating temperature. And if that's if it's not at that proper operating temperature, it wants to be. That nothing runs efficiently when it's not. So my new vehicle doesn't shift until it warms up so that it warms up more quickly.
All right, I'll tell you what. Are we going to see you on your birthday?
We are, yeah.
All right, good. We'll have a party already.
You know how at some age are a big deal, and at my age they're kind of like,
let's forget about
it. Let's slow these down. They come along way too quickly.
Don't they, though?
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday just ahead of the game.
Thank you. And, you're my first.
We'll see. We'll see you 1 week from today.
Sounds good.
All right, how do we get in touch with Lloyd's?
You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. You can give us a call this morning at 651-228-1316, or please stop by anytime at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul.
All right, very good. And because we missed a couple of text messages, we'll start the show with those next week.
That sounds great.
All right, thanks, Dan.
Great. Thank you.
See you in a couple of days.
Bye.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.